From Greek mythology to alien invasions in the War of the Worlds, Mars has always held a special place in the human imagination. And while we haven't found any little green people wandering around, NASA did announce some pretty exciting news about the red planet this week. The space agency has confirmed the presence of liquid water on the planet, something that scientists once thought was impossible. Here to talk with us about what this new discovery means for the future of space exploration is Shannon Schmoll, director of the Abrams Planetarium here on campus. You know, when my kids were little, we went there all the time. Abrams is just a fantastic place.
And thank you.
You look young enough to have not been doing this very long. How did you decide to become a planetarium director?
I love teaching. I went to grad school to be an astronomer and partway through realized that what I really liked doing was talking to the public about astronomy and what's out there and less staring at my screen of squiggly lines. So the squiggly lines are very fun and exciting to look at and interesting. I liked teaching a little bit more, and so I ended up going a more education route. So,
give us a brief kind of backstory on the history of Mars exploration.
So we've been exploring Mars, well, we've been looking at it up in the sky for hundreds and hundreds of years, but we started exploring it with spacecraft about 50 years ago, back in the 60s, with the Mariner spacecraft. We had the Viking spacecraft go out in the 70s. We've had several rovers that every time we send a new rover, they get bigger and bigger. So the latest one, Curiosity, is about the size of an SUV. And so we have, it's always captured our imagination. It's the one that's most likely to support any kind of life, and is very close to us. And so we've been exploring it for some time now.
So what exactly did NASA find on Mars?
So they found liquid water, and it keeps on being reported as flowing. It's probably seeping more likely. And we've seen for several years, it was discovered that there are these features that come and go with Martian summer and winter. In the summer, they're there and they seem to grow and flow down hills, and then they go away in the winter. And people and scientists have thought perhaps these are related to liquid water, but they weren't sure until recently. So they were using the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, MRO, in order to get some nice high-resolution images of the surface of Mars. And they were using a spectrometer to analyze what's actually there, what chemicals are there. And they found briny salt, or briny water, which is salty water. They found these hydrolyzed salts, which means that it's salt with water molecule components in it. And so this is confirming that there's liquid water. There has to be some kind of liquid water for that to happen. Now, we don't know much more than that. We don't know how much there is, where it's coming from, but there's at least liquid water there now.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is where do they think it's coming from? Do they have any conjecture?
I believe possibilities are there might be an aquifer underground, or there's ice underground in the surface of Mars, and so it could be coming from that. It could be coming from the atmosphere. We're not sure, and so that's sort of the next steps is everyone needs to figure out where is it coming from? How much is there?
Our special guest is Shannon Schmoll. She directs Abrams Planetarium here on campus. How important is this discovery?
Pretty important. It's pretty exciting. We thought for a long time that liquid water used to flow on Mars, but it couldn't exist there anymore. The temperature and pressure doesn't allow it. But now we have found that. And this is really important because if you, one, want to look for life, you go to the water. That's sort of the NASA motto, follow the water if you're going to try to find life. We don't know if this water can support life. We don't know if there's life there. We're not saying that there is. But if we're going to look, this is a good place to start.
What would be the next steps now that we know this? How would this change our exploration in the future?
Well, I think it means we actually have to be a little more careful. In some ways, if we were to send more rovers or people out to Mars, a human exploration of Mars to actually explore the planet further, currently things are not sanitized well enough that if, say, a microbe from Earth hopped a ride to Mars and then got into the water, there's a potential to contaminate the planet. And that's not something we want to do. We want to be able to understand Mars as Mars is. And so we have to be a little more careful with our exploration. But it also means that we have some sites that we're really interested in studying further now.
All-time favorite space travel movie, what is it?
Oh.
I imagine you're first in line for all of them, right?
Not lately. I don't get to go to many movies. I have a toddler at home, but let me think. Probably Star Wars. You have to always go back to Star Wars. It's not really space exploration, yeah. but there's lots of fun space stuff in there.
So I think about the Jodie Foster film. I think about the Matthew McConaughey mm-hmm. thing. And most recently, the Matt Damon movie, The Martian.
Mm-hmm.
From what you know about that, how realistic of a portrayal do you think that is?
The Matt Damon movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not... I don't know a whole lot about that one, actually.
It's interesting because he actually does try and grow things on the planet, and he's thought to be lost, and then they realize he isn't. They try and come rescue him. Is that stuff still the province of imagination, or do you see that as something that could probably happen in the future?
I think it's certainly possible for space exploration. I think we're getting closer to sending humans out to Mars. It's something that's on the to-do list, I guess, for NASA. And NASA does a lot of experiments to understand how we can grow things in space and potentially on Mars. There are experiments trying to understand best ways of actually growing things and sustaining life on other planets. And so...
Budget issues certainly drive this. What's your sense about how that will either speed up or slow down the process?
Budget is always an issue with NASA, and budgets seem to be cut quite frequently. I'm hoping that things like this will sort of renew that interest and push us toward more exploration. And I think we have certain companies like SpaceX that are trying to build rockets and do more privatization of space exploration, and that might be helpful. Though I think I'm hoping that this will push things towards, but I'm not sure where we're going to go with that. It's hard to say.
Yeah, is your sense that it's going to be a privatized future at some point? Is Richard Branson going to be like the first guy to make it happen?
Potentially. I think privatization will probably play a big role in our future at space exploration. And with budgets being the way they are, will probably be necessary if we want to. But I also... I'm hopeful that we don't cut the budget to NASA and the more public funding of this, because NASA has done some wonderful things. When we do explore space and push our limits this way, NASA comes up with technologies that help us back on Earth. So we shouldn't forget that just because we're pushing ourselves out into space and exploring those limits, there is use back on Earth. So,
best iPhone and Android app for astronomy. Do you have any favorites that you like to use? And the reason I bring that up was because I was at LS Techo over the weekend, and one of my friends whipped out his smartphone and he says, check this out. And he pointed it at the sky and all the stars were there. I'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, there's a bunch of apps like that, and I've played around with a lot of them. Though I think for me, my favorite one is actually weather apps, because that can tell me what the forecast is. There's one called the Clear Dark Sky Clock, or chart now. It's now the chart. And it tells me exactly what the observing conditions are, and so I know exactly if I can go outside and see Mars or not. So,
how and when can people come to Abrams Planetarium?
Well, we're open during the day from 8:30 to noon, and then 1 to 4:30 for our lobby and blacklight gallery. We have public shows on the weekends, so you can come check that out. We'll show you what planets are up and when you can see Mars. And tomorrow morning, if you want to get up at about 6:15 and come out, we'll have someone out front who wants to show people Mars. So Mars will be up in the morning skies right now. So.
And did you see the blood moon, or were there clouds at your place?
No, it cleared up. We were down at the Abrams Planetarium. We had probably close to 200 people come through that night, and it cleared up just in time, just before total eclipse, and cleared up, clouded back over after deepest eclipse. So we got a good view.
Shannon Schmoll is director of the Abrams Planetarium at Michigan State University. We've been talking about what liquid water on Mars means for the future of space exploration. Shannon, it's been great. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks.